Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of studies out of the book of Matthew. So get close to your radio and have your Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Are living in sin. They pastor in churches. Look, what, a couple of years ago, that preacher in Atlanta, messing with them little boys, church full. Church full. He knows how to talk to people. Yeah, still there. Still there. Sexual sin. That's how you, the Bible gives us a measuring stick to measure people by. Amen. It says immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissensions, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. All of those things there are what it says in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh. This is the fruit of the flesh. That's how you know a person is operating in the flesh. Rather than operating in the spirit. A person can get out of the will of God. Yeah. Operating deeds of flesh. How do you know a person is operating by the spirit? Look verse number 22. But the fruit of the spirit is what?
Love.
Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So, if a person is always losing control, they don't have no self-control, what do that tell you? And they are angry. They are angry. They don't have no self-control, and they constantly hitting the bottle. See, you make me so mad, now I got to go get me something to drink. What do that tell you? That person operating in the flesh, even though they may be a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, yeah, they are operating in the flesh. And so these are some signs of a false prophet if they got these things. Now, we're not talking about a person that just may slip in the sin and then they get out. We're talking about habits, habitual. When you look at that person there in the pulpit, say that man right over there. I better point over here. Amen. That's a drunken man right there. You know that he's got a drinking problem. Yeah. Then that lets you know he's operating in the flesh. Now keep in mind now, why is it that in the church a lot of times, fleshly people are so talented. Because the devil is talented. The devil, keep when it comes to the church, the devil knows church. Remember, he led worship in heaven. Yeah, so If you want to get into the flesh and self-worship and all of that, he can help you. He can help you. He can help you. And let me tell you something before we leave this chapter here. In Galatians chapter 5, when people get into these kinds of sins and it's habitual and it's become strongholds and things like that, demons are behind it. Almost any time I perform exorcisms and things like that, I always turn to right here. I always turn to right here, and I just go down the road here. If there's any spirits of immorality, you got to come up in Jesus' name. And I wait a few minutes, and I give that command again. And if nothing comes, then I move on to the next one. And most of the time, I find out what sin that person is committed. If that person is into adultery of something, well, I work hard and try to force and command that spirit of adultery there. Yeah, because sometimes when people are ready to change and they can't change, that's because a demon is involved a lot of times. Yeah. So that's why you don't want to cross the line, because sometimes you can get out there and you can't come back. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's why sometimes people can be in church and they can, you know, start slipping off and start messing off and messing around and stuff. And it's 20 years later before they get back in. And they never planned it. They never planned on it taking 20 years for them to get back to church. But that's because demons a lot of time is behind it. So demons come in and they get a toehold. Then they can get a foothold, then they get a stronghold. And if they get a stronghold in your life, then you're going to have to go through a deliverance service. Yeah, an exorcist, a pastor who knows about those kinds of things, a minister or somebody will have to try to free you. Yeah. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. Everybody's okay? Amen. 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 All right. Nobody scared, is there?
No.
Amen. All right. All right. Yeah. God is good.
Amen.
God is good. Greater is he who's within us than he that's in the world. So you don't have to be afraid of those kinds of things like that. You got the power of God living on the inside of you. Amen. And so when that old devil starts speaking up in people's, you just bind that devil in Jesus' name and go on. Amen. But let me show you something else right quick. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter. Are you with me, Bible way?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 2, we got a whole chapter that deals with false prophets and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, look here, the thing about a false prophet. Verse number 12. It says, but these like unreasonable animals, born as creatures of instinct, to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. They are ignorant and animalistic. They are like a beast. They have a beast instinct, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revile in daytime. They party in the daytime. They are stained and blemishes, reviling in their deception, as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Now, what he's saying, there's two marks that he's going to point out here of a false prophet or false preacher. First of all, they get into immorality. That's what he's talking about in verse number 13 and 14. They get into having wild parties. One of the things that you have to be careful about, particularly when you get involved in various different denominations and stuff, the higher you go, then you start seeing you have to be a part of this certain clique. Yeah, the higher you go, and if you don't do certain things, then you can't get in. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when I go to various churches visiting and what have you, ushers and stuff, or greeters, they find out that you're a pastor. And I don't know what it is, I think sometimes because you just can't a Bible. And they say, "You're a pastor, come on." And they'll take you back there to the pastor's office. And the pastor really don't know you a lot of time. They kind of be quiet around you. They don't say, no. You know, it could be 5 or 10 of them in the room. But when you walk in and don't hardly nobody know you, then that conversation kind of changes. Yeah, but if they know you a lot of time, he cool. And they go on and they talk a lot of worldly talk. And if you notice, I don't really have my ministers to come in the office before service, because we can easily get into a worldly discussion. What I mean by worldly in my case is just talking about football, talking about the game. And so I don't want to talk about the game before I come out here to preach. I don't want to talk, you know, we can talk about that after the game is over with over some fried chicken. But before I preach, amen. Just stay out there in the hallway. Stay in the room right there. And I'll come out there. And we're going to pray out there. And so, because I don't know what it is, but when a lot of ministers get together, it looks like Satan can infiltrate. And the conversation, and I'm not saying real bad and managed conversation. I'm just saying your mind is not on service. And all of a sudden, somebody knock on the door and say, "Hey, it's 5:00. Oh, come on, y'all, let's pray. Let's get up and pray. Come on, y'all, let's get up and pray." And so I don't believe that God can really bless when you are in one spirit and then all of a sudden you just throw up a quick flat prayer and ask God to bless it. No, so when I come and get off my knees and go out there and pray with those ministers, I'm ready. I'm ready. It's like I done been shot out of a cannon. Amen. Because I know I done heard from the Lord. I'm pregnant. Amen. I'm ready to deliver this sermon. Amen. And that's why I have to be real careful, too, about studying for my sermon on Wednesday, on Sunday. Because it's nothing for me to have a miscarriage on Wednesday night up in here. Yeah. Yeah. I said, "Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's what I supposed to preach on Sunday. And that done slipped on out. Now, Lord, you're going to have to give me something else." Amen. Amen. Hey, but how many of you know when something is good, you can't wait to tell folks? You can't wait to tell folks. All right, let me run on back because we got to finish, and we're going to finish. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we finna finish and we finna close this out. Jesus contrasts two kinds of builders. Look at what Jesus says in verse 24 through 29. Two kinds of builders. Jesus says, before we get there, look at verse number 22. Verse 21, here it is. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, would enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Isn't that something? To me, that's the most scariest, those are the most scariest verses in the Bible. People say, you know, the book of Revelation. Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. Jesus letting us know that on Judgment Day, there's going to be a lot of people who thought that they were saved, but they're going to find out that they're not saved. Yeah. See, there's going to be two surprises on Judgment Day. A lot of folks who thought they were saved are not saved. And then a lot of folks who didn't think they were saved, they're going to find out you saved. Yeah, remember Luke 18, the two men that went to the temple to pray? One was a Pharisee, and the other one was a tax collector, a publican. And the Pharisee said, Lord, you know, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. Thank you, I'm different from everybody else. That I fast, you know, 3 times a week and pay my tithes of everything I possess. I don't drink, I don't chase women, I don't dip, I don't chew, I don't hang out with those who do. Now that's Tim Wilbert Virgin. But basically that's what he was saying. But the Bible lets us know his prayer didn't even get past the ceiling. But then that other man didn't even come into the church. He just came there to the thresh floor and started beating on his chest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the chief sinner. That's what he was basically saying. Just have mercy. That man didn't feel worthy to come into the church. And Jesus says that man was the man that was saved, and the man who's right in the middle of the church praying, talking about I ain't like other men's are, he gonna bust hell wide open. Now ain't that something? That's what Jesus is saying on Judgment Day. Folks gonna be saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Then we cast demons out in your name. Then we perform many miracles in your name. How many of you know you can mimic anybody? Yeah, how many of y'all used to play church when you was little? Amen. You could preach the preacher's sermon. You could pray just like the deacons. I mean, you could shout like the folks shouting in church and stuff, what have you. Hello, somebody. You could do the holy dance. You know, you could do that. Oh, yes. Amen. You could do all of that without ever being saved. It's a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. Like a lot of the preachers that hoop, they just set up under somebody who hoop. And you'll learn how to hoop. Hello, somebody. Amen. 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 Let's go on a little bit further, and we're going to finish this, y'all. Look at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and act upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitude were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribe. What was Jesus saying here? He was saying, don't be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Listen, do you know why so many church folks, he's telling us why so many church folks gonna end up in hell on judgment day? Because they heard the word, but they didn't do it. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to hear the sermon. It's not enough to write down, I got the 3 points. You got to obey. If you don't obey, Christ says that your life is going to fall to pieces, even right on earth. Do you know why so many churchgoers are going through hell? I'm talking about right now. You know why they're going through hell? See, when you play church, I'm talking about grown up now, you're going to catch hell. Because you can't play. That's like playing in the devil's playground. Yeah. You got to come and go all the way with God. That way you got a defense. Because if you are scrawling the fence, who owned the fence? The devil. You can't scrawl the fence because he owned the fence. The devil owned the fence. You can't own it. I mean, you can't scrawl the fence. And so what you got to do, you got to obey. You got to obey. You got to obey. You got to obey. The blessings are in obeying. All right. What can we learn from this lesson? 3 things. What can we learn? Number one, follow the teachings of Jesus. Follow the teachings of Jesus. Are you with me, Bible way?
Amen.
Number two, the second lesson we can learn is have faith in Jesus. You follow the teachings of Jesus and you have faith in Jesus. And then number three, you obey Jesus. You obey. When you go home, read the first 15 verses out of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And you'll find that the scripture says that if you hearken unto God's commandment and obey God's commandments, he's going to list 15 blessings. You're going to get blessed, 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 blessed if you obey. We used to do a Bible covenant here at Bible Way. We used to hold up our Bible before I used to preach my sermon. And I would say, this is the word of God. If I obey it, blessings will come. They coming. You don't have to go looking for them. They coming to your house. So if you want to be blessed, just obey God's word and God will bless you. All right. That's our lesson for tonight. Let us pray.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.